In Britain, Stephen Fry is known as a man of many talents. Among other things, he's a screenwriter, author, playwright, journalist, poet, and comedian. Oh, and an actor, too. Did I mention actor? This week, American TV viewers will be able to see Fry in a crime caper called Doors Open, airing on the Ovation Channel. Doors Open is based on a book by Scottish crime writer Ian Rankin. It involves art stolen from a Scottish gallery.
I have it all planned. I'm going to need your help.
Help with what?
I have chosen one or two pictures that are close to my heart. The cattle, Cameron, nothing too ostentatious. I believe we can remove them without too much trouble.
Remove? You mean steal?
No, I don't mean steal. I mean liberate.
Well, like a heist, like the Italian job.
If you like, only less Italian.
That's Stephen Fry playing the part of Professor Robert Gissing in Doors Open. Stephen Fry, this is not the Italian job, but you do get to play a thief. What did you like about this character, Robert Gissing?
I liked the fact that he was angry about the injustice. To him, as a lover of art, there was a sort of obscenity in the fact that art could be bought as an investment and kept in a safe. And so for him, the act of stealing paintings that are kept in repositories and cellars is actually an act of liberation.
Right. It's not stealing.
No, although, exactly.
Although the idea of stealing, of risk-taking and the possibility you might serve time, I mean, you can relate, can't you?
I can, as it happens. As a naughty young boy, I was a very restless, disturbed child, shall we say, and I ended up in prison at the age of 17, 18, having liberated a credit card. And I was the despair of my parents. I think now it would have been perfectly clear. I would have been diagnosed as, with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and I certainly had all those qualities.
I mean, if you had gotten an official diagnosis of ADHD or bipolar at the time, you probably wouldn't have served time for 3 months in prison.
No, but then I wouldn't also, it's so difficult, isn't it? Talk about, the taking the right path or the wrong path. If you end up in a place where you're happy or at least reasonably content, you cannot be certain that any of the doors you took were not responsible for you being there.
Ian Rankin's story encapsulates so many sides of the global recession, banks in crisis, the real estate market crash, the prospects of long-term unemployment, all tied into this art heist caper. Why did you want to make this into a film?
It was just an instinct. I happened to hop onto a plane, and unbelievably for me, being a bit of a technical addict, I had forgotten my e-book reader. So I had to grab an atomic book made of atomic paper at the airport. And the one I grabbed was number one at the time in the best-selling list. It was by Ian Rankin. And I'd never read, to my shame, an Ian Rankin book. And as I read it, I just had this nameless feeling that I could see it, that it would make a good adaptation, and I liked the idea of it.
Right. And speaking of airplanes, you also happened to be on an airplane when the news came through about Margaret Thatcher earlier this week. I follow you on Twitter, so I know
right.
That.
It was somewhat misinterpreted, because I immediately tweeted, was in the air when I heard about Margaret Thatcher. And some people thought that meant that I was transported with joy, that I was literally floating on clouds of air with delight, which, whatever my views about her as a politician, I certainly wouldn't be so indelicate as to celebrate her death in the way that some have.
Well, you tweeted that she was such a force in Britain through your university days, through to your 30s. What kind of force?
The best version I could give is actually a quotation from Eleanor Fargen, who wrote this wonderful book when I was a boy called The Kings and Queens of England, and there were these little poems. So it would say, Bluff King Hal was full of beans, he married half a dozen queens, for example, to describe Henry VIII and his six wives. And the one about Elizabeth I ended with, nasty, jealous, suspicious and mean, but England was England when Bess was the queen.
Uh-huh.
And there's something about that with Thatcher. I'm not saying she was nasty, jealous, suspicious and mean, but certainly England was England when Thatcher was the queen. You know, as a walking companion or someone to go on holiday with her, she'd be very low down on my list. She was pretty philistine. I was at parties with her where she literally would say to the artist's face, that is rubbish. You know, I mean, she absolutely had no tolerance or interest in anything outside her own zone, which was a pretty limited one. But that single-mindedness, I suppose, is a sort of ghastly dose of nanny medicine that Britain needed at that time.
The best thing you tweeted this week, though, was that clip of Margaret Thatcher on Swedish television being asked by their anchor to take a little hop in the air.
Yes. It's interesting that the only two people who refused to do the little jump in the air are Margaret Thatcher and Madonna.
Really?
And without saying too much negative about Madonna, they both have a rather humorless quality to them. Do we not agree?
I'm with you there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's silly. No. Why should I?
We've taken a few tangents here, but we should remind our listeners that we were talking to you about the new film Doors Open, which airs this weekend on the Ovation Channel. Stephen Fry, thanks so much for your time.
A real pleasure. Nice talking to you.